Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Rich Tillery, Chief Pilot for Airline Transport Professionals and FAST Team Lead Representative from Jacksonville, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rich Tillery, coming back to you again. We're live on top of the FAA Production Studios, the FAST Team National Resource Center here in Lakeland, Florida. We're streaming to you over the internet. We're coming to you over web broadcasting as well as flight line radio. And we're also segmenting this off of Managing Safety. And just wanted to remind you guys that if you haven't hugged a volunteer today, you need to get out here to Sun and Fun and do so. Right now, I'd like to introduce my next guest. His name is Mike Bush. Mike Bush has done a lot of stuff with the general aviation industry, and has broken off. We're going to talk a little bit about what he's doing, what he's done in technology as far as aircraft safety, and then what he's doing right now. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rich.
All right. Well, let's go back in time. Let's talk about some of the stuff that you've done in general aviation. I understand you work for Cirrus. Is that true?
I did. Worked for them for 15 years started right here in Lakeland and met Alan and Dale Clapmeyer. And when they started the new venture up in Baraboo, Wisconsin, then Duluth, Minnesota, they asked me to come along.
Now, you said you started there how many years ago?
15.
15 years ago. Now, the name Cirrus, as a big name in general aviation, has only been around for about, what, 5 or 6 years?
No, actually, Cirrus Design has been around for quite some time in the 80s, actually. They were building kits called a VK-30, a high-performance single pusher, and it was a great airplane, and they really wanted to get into certified airplanes, and the FAA wasn't sure quite how to certify a fiberglass airplane, which was the new material at the time. And so we built kits for a while and then got into certified airplanes up in Baraboo and then Duluth, Minnesota.
So you're an engineer by trade?
No, sir. I'm a MB-RITL graduate. I've got a Bachelor of Science in Management. So I'm a management type guy. I'm an AMP. I've got my multi and instrument and commercial ratings.
But now with Cirrus, you did a lot of work with the ballistic chute. This aircraft has a ballistic chute on it, and you did a lot of work there. Tell us a little bit about that, the work that you did there.
Well, let's start with Alan Clapmeyer. He was one of the two founders of the two brothers, Alan and Dale. And Alan experienced a mid-air collision one day when he was doing his instrument training in a 182. Now, he and his instructor survived, but the airplane that they hit was actually being piloted by a friend of Alan, and he didn't make it. Alan knew that at some point he and his brother wanted to build certified airplanes, and they said, you know, there's got to be something more to it. We've got to be able to get around these kinds of problems. When we moved to Minnesota, we met the people at Ballistic Recovery Systems who were distributing and preparing parachutes for aircraft, the smaller aircraft. And Alan thought it'd be a good idea if we could try to work it into a heavier, faster airplane. So the two companies collaborated, and we installed and designed what we called the CAPS, or the Cirrus Airframe Parachute System, onto the Cirrus SR-20, and it became part of our type certificate.
So that parachute has got to be on the aircraft. It's got to be functional in order for the aircraft to be airworthy.
Absolutely. It can't be disabled in any way, or the airplane is not airworthy. Correct.
So you can't now, can you, let's say that you're an old-time pilot that believes in dead-sticking airplanes to the ground, and I don't want that thing in there. I don't want any kind of pyrotechnic device inside the cabin, cockpit, or near me. Yeah. Can I get it? Can I get the aircraft without it?
No, sir. It has to be in there. It's part of the type certificate, and that's what it says. Now, there are other airplanes that have been approved for retrofits, or 337s in the field. Cessna line of 150s, 152s, up through the 182, can have these parachutes installed after the fact.
Well, let's talk about that just for a little bit. If a guy wanted to go out and get his aircraft retrofitted, obviously he's got to be on the list of aircraft that can be done, correct?
That's correct, yes.
I mean, does this increase a lot of weight to airplanes for the guys that want them?
No, it's about 55 pounds for the package, and price is going to come up, so it's somewhere around $18,000.
$18,000?
Yes, sir.
Is that cheap?
I think so. What's your life worth?
There you go. It boils down once again to aviation safety.
Yes, sir.
And what's your life worth? Well, reading some of these, some of the case studies and everything, has a ballistic parachute, like, I mean, how many lives do you have you guys got statistically that have been saved?
Well, the Cirrus is, in our history, we've had 18 deployments and saved 36 lives, worldwide, the system has saved probably well over 212, I think it is. So that's not small potatoes in the world of safety.
And that ballistic parachute's been out for how long now?
Well, we've had it in the Cirrus for, 12 years. And it's been around probably another 10 on top of that.
Okay. Because, when you talk about numbers of lives being saved and numbers of people having problems with their airplane deploying parachutes, if you're saying in the last 12 months, then that doesn't say a whole lot.
No.
It's like, oh, good grief, maybe it's the chute that's going to...
Well, we've had, I think there are probably something like 26 or 28,000 of them installed in airplanes that are currently flying, which is quite a few.
That is a lot. Now, the smaller... Now, obviously, the chute comes in different sizes, because you see some of these ultralights out here.
Not very big.
No. Yeah, not very big at all. And so, I mean, obviously, the company that designs or sells these things, they've got them for different size airplanes.
Well, it goes by weight and speed. And so, something like a trike would have a very small one. The Cirrus has one of the larger ones. And let's not forget that the military use them in, like, the Predator, some of these drones that they fly around, too.
Now, are they safe enough to where they won't go off by themselves? I mean, if a pilot's sitting there and, I mean, or do you have to do an extensive passenger briefing saying, don't touch that red handle?
No, the red
do
handle.
Do not touch the red handle.
Actually, the biggest problem we have is people not using the handle.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but we do brief them on it. We do train them when they pick up their airplane at Cirrus. And, we run them through a number of scenarios in which it would be a good thing to use the parachute. Sometimes you don't want to do it, it's not the thing to do. We've had something like 14 cases that we analyzed where people should have and didn't for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, and again, it gets back to the, people want to have a certain type of aircraft. It's got the ballistic chute on there, but still they're the old school thinking that I can dead stick this thing in. You're probably right. Now, let's talk about the decision of the pilot that doesn't deploy the chute, because some of the, we were talking earlier off camera that some of these chutes require deployment, you said above 2,200 feet, but it can be deployed below that, you're saying, right?
Well, we think that the altitude best to deploy this is anything over 300 feet AGL.
So at 300 feet, that gives a rocket that propels this thing out?
We have a solid fueled rocket that pulls the parachute package away from the airplane, and it unstows automatically. And has to have a little time to do that. But 300 feet, it will work fine as long as you're upright.
So 300 feet gives you enough for that thing to get up, whatever seconds it takes to deploy,
yep,
and fully open the envelope to pull you down, yeah, safely.
And it's important to answer your other question that we didn't quite get to, is that the pilot has to activate this. It's not automatic like a seatbelt. Or airbag. This has to be activated by the pilot, and again, that's the problem. Sometimes they choose not to use it. We would prefer that they did use it more often.
Well, what can you do? You can lead a horse to water, right, but a pencil has to be led, right? Well, that's...
Good one.
I knew it.
Yeah.
You'll do.
Yeah.
It's an off-camera joke, guys. Anyway, with all the work with Cirrus and working with composites and ballistic parachutes and everything, you're now, I know that now because you've worked with different materials and stuff, that you're now a consultant with the Technical Safety Institute, and you do a lot of work educating first responders for the FAA. Tell us a little bit about how you guys go about doing all that, some of the areas that you guys touch on with these aircraft.
Well, basic accident investigation course is held at Transportation Safety Institute down in Oklahoma City, and they contract to the FAA for all of their air safety investigators to go through. It's a required course for every FAA employee, actually. And we talk to them about the various hazards that you can expect on accident sites, and there are many. But a lot of folks aren't aware of, for example, the ballistic parachute or even some of these new airbags that can be on the site in an unused condition if the pilot chooses not to activate, say, the parachute. And sometimes they're not aware of that, and so they could be walking around live ordnance. We also try to go out and talk to fire response companies and fire colleges and some of these other first responder type people so that when they go out to an accident that they can be aware of the danger and have them call the manufacturer so they can come deactivate the system.
So it takes them. So you guys won't teach like a fireman how to deactivate that pyrotechnic that's on that crashed airplane. They have to notify the manufacturer to come do it.
Well, we'd like to because, as you can imagine, I've seen accidents in just about every kind of condition you can imagine. And the problem is that while I understand the nuts and bolts of this system intimately, there are variables. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen any two of them exactly alike that I had to deactivate. Sometimes the activation cable is stretched, for example, and you don't want to just cut it. It might spring back and fire it.
Yeah.
And underwater, on top of trees, whatever. So you have to kind of analyze the situation, and it's best if one of our people come and do it.
And you teach all this stuff to, now the FAA guys, now you guys also do like fire departments. I mentioned the fire.
Yep.
So now do they attend the institute where you're at, or do you guys travel to them?
Well, we do both. The FAA has extra seats in some of these classes, and we sometimes will get industry people to come and fill those seats. Otherwise, fire departments all around the country and fire schools will invite me to come out and teach one of their classes, and we'll get anywhere from 50 to 300 people in a class, and it can sometimes be a whole city of different fire departments that attend, or police departments. First responders of all kinds need to know these things, and we've done anywhere from 60 to 70 seminars every year for the last 10 years.
Wow, so you've been pretty busy.
I do travel a lot.
and you said that you're also doing work right now with some of the EAA guys, the Experimental Aircraft Association guys.
That's correct.
And is it because a lot of their aircraft are fiberglass, or a lot of them, I mean, do they want to know a little bit more about what's going on with their planes, or is what to do in case something happens to it?
Well, mostly this becomes an educational situation where we try to teach them how to use the materials. The EA has a number of wonderful workshops for the members, and they can teach anything from electrical systems and how to wire to how to do composites, metalwork, riveting, that sort of thing. And they usually will have them on a weekend somewhere in some city and advertise that. The builders will come and attend, and they can apply those skills to the airplane that they're building. So this is more of an education on how to do it sort of thing, and I'll be starting those classes in August for the EAA.
Aren't you building an airplane?
I am. I'm building an F-1 rocket.
Building a rocket?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, don't get in any trouble.
No, sir.
Because Iran built a rocket.
That's right.
They're in trouble.
Yes, right. This is kind of an RV4 on steroids. It's a two-seat model craft built out of metal. The old-fashioned way, I might add, flush rivets.
Oh, so you're bucking rivets.
I am.
A rivet bucker.
I am.
That's great. So are you close to completion?
We're always close to completion, but never quite there.
But you're not going to put a ballistic chute on. You're going to wear one on your back, right?
That's correct.
Because you built it yourself, and you don't trust you.
I don't. I'm nervous.
There you go. I don't trust me either. If I built a rocket, I'd be carrying a parachute with me too, but that's great. I mean, it sounds like you're on the, I mean, on a pretty smooth track here, because this stuff is never going to go away. Now, are you doing anything with with bigger aircraft, we're talking like airliners and stuff like that? Because I don't know how they've changed, with composites and new types of foam and seating and everything.
Well, done at TSI, we do talk about cabin safety, and a lot of the materials that are in some of these new airplanes, like the Airbuses, for example, they will have. Problems with some of these materials when they burn, and they do create gases and so forth that can be toxic. And by the way, the new Boeing 777 is going to have airbags on them, and also some of the Airbuses are starting to put these airbags into exit rows. So don't be surprised if you see an airbag situation in your seat.
So the airbags that are going to be on the airliners, will they be some type of pneumatic system, or will they be pyrotechnic? Like we were talking about earlier.
Well, these are very small squibs that fire them. It's a very small explosive, about an ounce and a half. And they're filled with helium, and the bags themselves will then deploy from the seat belt. It's called inflatable restraints. And it comes up away from the passenger initially and then comes back to them, unlike a car system, which comes right at you.
Yep.
And so we have to teach people how to deal with those in accident situations as well.
Yeah, because I was thinking if you go to one accident site that has an aircraft that has one type of a pyrotechnic device, safety device on it, and you go out to an airliner and some went off, some didn't go off, you're talking, right. And even though it's a small device, it can still hurt you.
Well, it can scare you.
It'll ring your bell, by God. It'll wake you up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, look, Mike, best of luck traveling around and everything. Okay. How long are you going to be at Sun and Fun for? You live here, right?
I used to live here. This is my hometown. So I'm going to be here till Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're here for almost the duration, I guess.
You bet. I got to go around and see old friends.
So where are you going to be at out here?
I'll be on my cell phone.
Yeah. If you want to see him or talk to him, he's on his cell phone. But if you see him walking around, say hi to him, you guys. But it's, because sometimes people know who people are, but they never put a face to it. And hopefully we get a chance to put a face to Mike Bush today. Mike, I appreciate you coming out and being with us today on the show.
Thanks, Rich.
Best of luck to you and all your stuff. Keep up that safety work, okay?
Yes, sir. Sure will.
And And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and kind of sign off to you guys. I'm managing safety. Guys, I'm Rich Tillery. Going to be checking out with you. And for the guys here at Sun and Fun, I'm Rich Tillery at the FA Production Studio here at the Fast Team National Resource Center. And again, if you haven't hugged a volunteer today, you need to do so right away. It's good luck. It's good luck to hug these people. And they're great. They smile all the time. I'm a volunteer. Anyway, good luck to you. Everybody have a great time here at Sun and Fun, and we'll see you later. Mike, thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.